This is a lecture by L. Ron Hubbard given on the 30th of December, 1951. The title of this lecture is Effort Processing and the Life Continuum. This lecture is 77 minutes long. Reproduced by Golden Era Productions.
There are two parts to effort processing. The part of making a preclear well and the part of ruining a preclear. Now I'm trying to appeal to that minority who believe that preclear should be preserved. I showed you some effort processing here earlier in the lecture. There are literally thousands of these, simply thousands of them, types of somatic that can be turned on and possibly even off with a gesture or two. You have seen in your own experience how a facsimile can modify the structure of an individual. Thought alone can modify the structure of an individual. An individual gets the idea that he ought to be fat, so he's fat. Just like that. But let's not play the game by this, by the way, of the fellow who says you can always make lead into gold, providing you go up on top of a mountaintop and you mix these ingredients together, and if you're careful not to think of the word hippopotamus. It works every time. Well, you needn't get this way about postulates. Because the second that you start to control postulates, you're controlling yourself from a new control center. It can do most anything it wants with postulates, and it doesn't have any trouble with the word hippopotamus. But you have in the past had some trouble with the word hippopotamus. You know, it'd be very strange if it suddenly turned out that we weren't all running on the first dynamic. It'd be very strange, wouldn't it? Everybody's believed this so implicitly. You've had such a good time with it. They've made a lot of money at it. Set up their little pitch stands down on the corner and sell the neckties. Well, I hope now we're no longer in that strata of trying to help man. Now, the trouble with you is you have a guilt complex. Now, if you stop thinking about yourself all the time and started thinking about somebody else, that's what that poor guy's doing. He's so busy thinking about 18 other people that he never has time to think about himself. You know, these men that go around with paunches, you may have seen one or two. You know, those guys are probably subbing for mama. There's usually a second child, and something happened to it. How do you like that? So, or mama has to work too hard, and there mama is with that second child on the way, and so... the next 40 years, the fellow busily carries this child for the mama. I'm not kidding. It can go this light. An individual looks at somebody and says, they're too fat. So he gets thin. Just like that. So he gets thin so that they can get thin. And if you run into a malnutrition case, you ask right away, do you have a sister or a brother? Father or mother? Who is fat? Fellow says,
yeah, my father and mother both too fat. The father's so overweight, the fat tissue around the heart, and he's probably going to die.
Well, he's busy being thin for pop. Interesting, isn't it? If you start to get the slant on your own case, you will find out, all of a sudden, with what busyness you are busy fixing other people up by fixing yourself up, and actually how very little time you are spending on yourself. You aren't spending any time worrying about yourself. You start looking it over and you find out that's the horrible truth. You start running somebody down his time track.
Whose time track?
Well, it's a good thing life isn't serious. If it were, somebody could die from this. And if he does, it's a good thing death isn't serious either. But anyhow, all of these activities of future goals for somebody else, trying to moderate or modulate somebody else's existence by taking on the burdens of the world and that sort of thing, finds its action in the field of effort. An individual just doesn't think magic presto change-o in order to make somebody else thin by getting thin himself. He finds a facsimile, an action effort facsimile of thinness, and uses it. And that's what his thought does. Now, it isn't just a wish without anything else to back it up. There, by the way, is one little short circuit that might or might not be solved someday in the field of mysticism. There's several things, the poltergeist, and there are a lot of phenomena that have not been tied down and have not even really been thoroughly established. Whereas a person looks at matter and the matter moves, or some such thing. I saw this stuff when I was a kid. Out in India's sunny clime, they almost stood my hair on end, some of these things. I don't know anything about them. Probably it's all done by effort. Of some sort. From some source. But you see, I wouldn't trust myself on that observation. I would trust a camera, but I wouldn't trust me. Because I've sat down with my legs crossed, and all of a sudden been in Shanghai or Moscow or someplace. I mean really been there. And I wake up and there's the old man sitting across from me grinning, saying, "What the hell, hypnotism?" Hypnotism combined with astral walking, a lot of phenomena, interesting stuff, interesting. But funny how much of it we've solved. Funny thing, a lot of this stuff has solution. Old Dave Dobbs sitting back there one time told me, he says, remember last June, July, when you ran me forward to the 3rd of January, 1951? I said, yeah. He said, well, it was a funny thing, but, you know, I saw myself and there was snow and so forth. And he said, all of a sudden, on the 4th or 5th of January, I suddenly remembered that you had run me forward to a scene which was very similar to the scene I was in. 3rd of January. Of course, a lot of things were different about it. He says, but there was an impression of that, and I wouldn't have had any notion that I would have been there. Maybe there's future time track. I do know this about the future time track, though. The future's pretty well in your hands. Pretty well in your hands. You can change the future. A lot of experimental work's been going on in this field. And the only reason I am mentioning this data is so that you will not get this confused in postulate processing with what physically happens with postulates and effort. They're two different subjects. A person doesn't get thin on the direct route of saying, I will now be thin. There are mechanics behind it. Good, solid mechanics, which you as an auditor can put your hands on. He says, she is too pretty. And it gets her into trouble. And therefore, I will be ugly for her. Well, that's funny, but you'll find this computation in a few cases. All right. It isn't that thought that does the work on the body. It's the thought which picks up a facsimile which contains effort and circumstances in it which match up the desired situation. You see how that is? There is an actual mechanical line behind this. The person makes the postulate, the desire or the wish, and makes it come true by picking up a facsimile which he then imposes upon himself. See how this is? There's the mechanics. Now these efforts and counter-efforts, as contained in a facsimile, may be something, maybe the kid was very sick when he was young. And in effort to get a thin facsimile, it's that period of thinness which he picks up in order to make somebody else thin. And then, you see, he has to fail to really get the whole brunt of this thing himself. He sort of wishes that this other person would, and he tries to coax the other person to diet. He tries to coax the other person not to eat quite so much, to take a little exercise and so forth, and fails. Well, now, he's busy using this facsimile for his design, and he, however, is not very closely associated with it. All of a sudden, he fails. He gets the facsimile himself. A facsimile of thinness might also contain several aberrations, but he'll get the whole package. You pays your money, and you takes your chance. That's about what it amounts to. Now, your efforts and counter-efforts of being sick and thin would be what? Well, about the biggest counter-effort you'd get would be the pressure of the bed in your back. The various other factors associated with this period of illness might also contain the interior corrosive effect, perhaps, of bacteria, if it exists. By the way, I don't mean for you to misinterpret anything by that. I mean, of course, I go right along with the boys on bacteria, virus, and all the rest of the stuff. You can see them in a microscope. They're real universe. You inject from one person to another. Only trouble is there's a very large proportion of the people you try to throw them at don't get sick. There's some wild variables in there that somebody better take a look at before they think they've got the science of biology buttoned up, if it's a science. Anyway. Now, he's got an internal corrosive action, which is cutting down the efficiency of his metabolism somehow. This ill period, which is the thin period he's using, then would have many other attributes. So he tries to make somebody thin, fails more or less, starts wearing the facsimile himself, and he gets thin. But there'll be other things that go along with it. Therefore, you have two ways of entering into this situation. One is to find the wish. And if you find the wish, find the failure. Now, the easiest way to find a hope and failure curve is with the emotional curve. So you find out more or less the subject you're going after. If you don't immediately find the wish and the failure, then you run an emotional curve on the subject, trying to make somebody do something. The emotion of perseverance, or the emotion of carrying on somehow, the emotion of trying to get something done, and drops off into the failure curve. Now, you get a person to feel that a few times, and maybe the postulate will drop out. And all the reasons with it, and the failure, and everything else, and it'll just go boom! And all of a sudden, the fellow says, oh, that's why I'm wearing that facsimile. That's all there is to it. But sometimes individuals have failures which are rather magnitudinous. Something like getting chopped up with an axe or something. Sometimes they try to do something and promptly fail with lots of effort and counter-effort. One of these situations, very peculiar, is it very often seems to swallow up the postulate. The efforts and counter-efforts involved in that exact situation. Now, an individual, for instance, thinks that he's capable of administering justice at each and every hand. You can't be responsible with action for responsibility without the administration of justice, without constituting yourself a court of law. Actually, government men's groups are merely based rather badly upon men's internal goals and governments. Someday, when they got them really to compare, why, you might have a government. There's that possibility. But you'd have to go at it about that way. You know, this, they cross over the two control centers. Control center of the right side is located on the left side of the body. The control center of the left side of the body is located on the right side of the body. You wouldn't have any big squawk between Russia and the United States if you did that with their control centers. The body's already solved it sometime since. All right. Now, in resolving a justice situation, you have a little bit something else, because you're liable to run into lots of effort and counter-effort which swallow up the whole situation. This individual believes that somebody is doing wrong to somebody else, so he mounts himself upon his white charger, puts his lance in place, and puts on the battle helm, and says, crash. He has now protected the weak, punished the evil. Only sometimes he doesn't make the grade, particularly if it's Papa. I don't think there's anybody here who has not tangled with Papa, Mama, the other relatives, by this completely, perfectly noble, but magnificently foolhardy contest. So high, no armor, no horse, no pinion, no lady's favor, and Papa's doing something wrong to the dog or to Mama or the other child or something of the sort. So I says, nyah! Promptly gets aboard the saddle and charges down the list. Tough. You pick him up and you separate him out of his shield. You stand him up, and he doesn't stand very well, but if he does that two or three times, he has to have a new method, by golly, of administering justice. So he gets one. He figures out what will cause them the most trouble. And what he can't be punished for. And then he promptly uses it to its fullest extent, and that is usually illness. In other words, the last of his cycle not only has probably this justice cycle, not only has a full curve of failure with effort and counter-effort at the end of it, but then has a selection of a service facsimile, which is illness, and has a complete illness following it. And if this person really is going to do well, or is doing well, there's somebody around this person will pick up as an ally on the other end, and will become new and powerful because he has an ally, but now is convinced that he needs an ally in order to accomplish this thing. I tell you, if it's just a few days after birth, if they would just teach horsemanship, and the use of the mace and broadsword, we wouldn't have any aberrated people. But they don't do this. It's frowned upon in the maternity wards. So you as auditors have to put up with it in the past of your preclear, because you'll find this in the past any preclear you process. This kind of a cycle. If this preclear says there never was this kind of a cycle, boy, you can really count on it. He really, the horse went down and busted his neck, and they had to dig this fellow out of 4 feet of turf. I mean, the effort and counter-effort was that great at the end of this action. Papa starts to punish the dog. Comes over to change baby's diapers and gets bit. It actually is that early. Yes, the champion, the champion. After a while, they begin to read hero tales. And guys like me can finance a tremendous amount of research by writing hero tales. I had to make a terrific study of this because, you see, you haven't got much time to waste. If you can only spend about 3 days a week, 3 hours a day, and you have to turn out 100,000 words a month, rates being what they are. So I made a codified study of this in an effort to cut down rejects. What is common in interest to all human beings? The hero tale. So I figured out the hero tale and reversed the cycle on them. I sold 97.3% of my stories the first pass out. Must be, have some validity to it. I got very interested in that, and I didn't pick that up actually and start thinking about it until about 4 months ago. Because it was just an effort in those days to get some more money, buy some more books, such as The Life of Torquemada, covered in human skin, very rare, only copy in existence. Something like that. And it turned up the other day, a few months ago, and all of a sudden said, you know, I keep running into this confounded cycle. Every individual seems to have this funny cycle. How early does it go? Gee. Papa comes over to change the diapers and gets bitten. Or has to come over several times after a while and change diapers. Justice. Now, if you do an individual an injustice to himself when he is administering proper and deserved justice, and then somebody else comes along and ruins him because he administered justice, you've got the nicest, squirreliest engram imaginable. Now, you try to go into that with effort, you try to go into it with thought, you try to go into it with emotional curves, and so forth. Because this individual has insisted so hard on the fact that this justice was just, that he's hung himself up with it 100%, because nobody will believe him. Nobody's going to take that. You should not beat up your little sister. I know she's 3 times as big as you are, but you're a little boy, and you must not hit your older sister, and you must not tease her anymore, and so forth. I don't care what she did. That's canceled. Now, that's the kind of affairs that you run into in that field. I did some work with a Kinnig photometer one time. You ever see one of those old gimmicks? In physics class. In an effort to lay out a possible scale of sound response. This was about 1933. And in other words, here's sound response. Poetry is sound, and therefore is there an onomatopoeia which is exact and responsive in every human being alive? It's the same thing. Because you read Japanese poetry to somebody who doesn't speak Japanese, he recognizes his poetry, and so on. What is the onomatopoeia of various sounds? Well, you know, it was an interesting project. Very interesting project. Of course, everybody was bawling me out continually over in the laboratory because it wasn't supposed to be in that laboratory, and that Kinnig photometer wasn't supposed to be used for that anyhow. And besides, it cost a lot of money for that film, and I kept using up an awful lot of the film that went with the Kinnig photometer. And I won. But I ran into a problem of my own which, as a matter of fact, worked a little bit against us early in Dianetics. There is no common response to most words, but there's an emotional jolt on certain words in nearly everybody. There's an emotional jolt on the word wrong, the word fault, and the phrase have no right. And every human being I've ever laid my hands on, there's jolts on these things. Well, it presages the fact that either at home, in the hands of his governess, if he had any, or at school, the individual has been trying to carry out this justice cycle. But this is a help cycle. Now, if he's defeated too much in a justice cycle, he stops helping with action and starts contesting with illness and starts helping with thought and wearing the facsimiles himself. In other words, here's the source of this later business of she ought to be thinner, therefore I will be thin. She ought to be thinner than so. But I can't help her get thin. She won't take my advice. Now I'll have to be thin. You get the idea. Or somebody's too thin. Somebody's much too thin. Malnutrition. For instance, I had a preclear. Checked up on this preclear one day. Preclear's weight had been coming down rather well. Preclear was quite overweight. And what happened? Nothing. I really beat my brains out for a little while until all of a sudden found out that a very thin person had moved into this person's environment who was suffering from malnutrition. But he didn't dare get any thinner. It would make this other person vanish. The other person would not respond to any advice, that sort of thing, so the person couldn't keep on reducing. The weight stopped right there. In other words, a lot of these failure cycles, failure to administer justice, which is just failure to help, and failure to help in other ways, failure to contribute, failure to issue a license to survive, in other words, here, there, and every place, eventually winds up in a state of mind where an individual very easily fails. So at the bottom of every one of these thought channels, there's not only the effort of the engram he picked up to use for this, there is also, down early in life, effort and counter-effort on justice and injustice, on aid and failure. And those are the engrams you want. You don't want to spend a lot of time on the individuals merely wishing that somebody else were happy. And so getting happy himself, but he doesn't feel very happy. And then failing and getting very sad. Going into the wrong valence on the thing. It's the cheer-up cycle. Tells the other individual, cheer up, cheer up, cheer up, cheer up, then fails. And of course, where did he get it? He's using a facsimile of somebody cheering somebody else up. Well, the somebody else that was being cheered up in the facsimile he's using is gloomy. So you cheer somebody up long enough and they don't cheer up and then you get gloomy. Very simple. You just go into the other side. The other valence. Nothing to it. Because you feel after a while that you ought to be cheered up, so you wear a valence that says that you should be cheered up. And simple. Sounds awful complicated, but it's not. What I'm trying to impress upon you is that a human being gets to a state where this stuff is almost automatic response, where they can sit down alongside of an auditing couch, and every time the preclear sneezes, the auditor starts to sneeze. In other words, the help, effort, failure have gotten so close together on this individual that he gets it almost as an automatic cycle. And that is the mechanism of auditory stimulation. An auditor who still has his service facsimile is an auditor who still has this whole cycle of try to help, fail, crash, down at the bottom of the tank. As long as he's got that down there, he's going to have a bad time of it. Because he's gotten to the point where just the effort to help sometime will actually turn on an effort against himself. If you're running at a nice high level on the tone scale, one thing is necessary to remain there. And actually, one thing is necessary to get there. And that is this justice cycle in any of its aspects, which is just help-failure cycle. And it contains a facsimile, a rough one, down early somewhere in the bank. It'll contain a real rough one. You'll find out that if you ever have to run a past death that keeps presenting itself and so forth, you haven't got all of that past death until you find out all there is to know about it. And all there is to know about it is the reason it's being worn. It's one of these failure cycles. Only it isn't just a failure on the fellow's own life, it's a failure on somebody else. Somebody else. Not the individual. Okay. So, how does a person make an effort to make somebody talk straight? He makes the effort he has to make to talk straight, which can degenerate immediately into the counter effort of not talking straight. Now, there's the mechanics behind it. When you make an effort to help somebody, you're making a real effort. And generally, that effort you're making also has some counter efforts, and you can slide off into the counter effort on the thing. When you get the counter effort, I pity somebody who does nothing but help little kids that are stammering, particularly before Dianetics when he didn't have anything that could help them. You know, speech. You talk. Because he'd be in bad way after a while. Because he'd keep putting forth the effort, and it's a physical effort, talk straight. Talk. Talk straight. Talk. Failure. Right? Little kid failed. Not all. A fellow says, I can't go on like this. I teach people how to talk straight. Well, the second he finds himself doing that, then he has to make an effort to start talking straight. It might wind up, he might handle it to a point where he actually starts losing his teeth or getting something wrong with his throat or getting a somatic, because out of this package of failure and so forth, he keeps bearing down on talking straight. And there has been an impulse against talking straight. How many people here have been stopped suddenly in mid-flight when they were talking? I imagine there's one or two present. Well, that is a dramatization of something that happened earlier in the form of a person talking, and he is stopped in his talking. But how is he stopped? Probably with an axe or something. You know, I mean, really stopped. Hand over the mouth. Choking. Something of that sort. There is an effort. The person was putting forth the effort to talk, and all of a sudden there was a counter effort, and he couldn't talk against the counter effort, and he lost. So you interrupt a person when he's talking too much, and the individual, at last, will begin to turn on an effort to talk. And if he turns on too much effort to talk, he was going to get the counter effort of not to talk. And if he's really defeated about talking, be in bad shape. I'm knocking you all out of ten. Trouble with this subject. I tell you, let's just all be mermen and mermaids for a moment and talk about those strange beasts called human beings. Now, as long as you have a person badly impeded on some such line, and he's turned on in full some of these counter efforts, and he's carrying them somatics, believe me, that is a manifestation of a help failure cycle. And it isn't anything else but a chronic somatic is this obvious demonstration of a help-failure cycle. where the individual has used an effort to help and has failed and has gotten the somatic back, crash. And you can just find that situation on a case. If you just find that situation, the key situation on the case, and the thoughts connected with it, the darn thing will blow. I don't care if it's a bump on the head or the second head of a psychiatrist or anything. It'll blow. That's the straight of it. You want to know the anatomy of a chronic somatic. It's very interesting to you. It's the anatomy of a person who has put forth an effort to help. Probably not once, but several times, and has lost. With that particular portion of his body. See how this is? Or, on a life continuum cycle, has by sympathy and an effort to contribute, which is again help, turned on this facsimile of grandma's so that grandma can be aided. And then grandma up and dies. Darn her soul. She up and kicks off, and of course that makes it a failure cycle. So this life continuum is just an expanded view of what can happen in a very short space of time. Now you understand that. They're both the same curve. The little kid tries to help grandma, and then one day grandma dies. Well, this hangs the little kid with whatever he was trying to help grandma with. Life continuum then says this pattern of grandma will continue. When grandma had an obvious psychosomatic illness, that was it. Now, what have you got to do to resolve that case? All you've got to do is find out the number of times he's trying to help grandma. The desire to help grandma and the emotional curve of helping grandma and failing, the emotional curve of the failure at the death, a few things like that, will disconnect grandma's death off of these early attempts. But if you can't find it, it's because there's too much effort on it. So you start running some effort processing on the thing. You take this person's obvious psychosomatic illness, the obvious one, I don't care what you call it, service facsimile or otherwise, and you just start working effort on it. And some interesting things will start to fall out of it. A person is deaf, you get the effort not to hear. Because he turned off his own hearing. Nobody else did it. He did it in an effort to help. Matter of fact, you can talk about all this and you can talk all about this so quietly and softly at about 0-5. You could probably have everybody in an audience weeping if you're ever given a lecture, by the way. Because, boy, you're hitting right dead center into every case there. You try to help. You try to help. You fail. You try to help. You try to help. You fail. Now, don't be surprised, as you're processing a preclear, to have a chronic somatic turn on. But don't quit at that point. What you did was bring him up the tone scale to a point where he could feel it. And that's good. That's very good.
This lecture is continued on the next disc.
So, there are several ways to solve these facsimiles. All you're trying to do is get rid of the facsimile. Now, the running of effort, for the sake of running effort, is senseless. But you can also have an awful lot of fun with it. It's not particularly dangerous to run effort. You run the person's effort not to see. He's got glasses on, so you can just start running their effort not to see. That's all. Run their effort not to see. And if you monkey around with it for a minute, the lights will blaze up on him or something strange will happen to him. You go like, what's this fellow doing to me? It's a good convincer. He's got an awful ache in his eyes, and you say, well, here's my card. My office is downstairs. Because, you see, this business of not seeing is a very simple affair. There are 8 muscles which hold the eye in a spherical shape. There are just 8 muscles. And you kick a guy in the shins, and believe me, those muscles tension this way and that. Now, if you hold him in the facsimile where he was kicked in the shins, his eyes will stay in that shape. And then somebody can make millions selling him glasses. But eyes come back, good heavens, nothing to it. I mean, they come back up the line, zingity-bang. As fast as you take away the facsimiles, or as fast as you permit the individual to handle the facsimiles, and the only glasses that you can't take off people's noses are those glasses which they are busily wearing so that Grandpa can read better. You'll have a little trouble with those glasses. The only trouble you'll have with them is just disconnecting all the facsimiles the little kid brought up to help Grandpa. You disconnect those facsimiles with an emotional curve of the thoughts, zong, he'll start letting go. Otherwise, he won't let go. Now, this is sacred. He went into the lists. He ran half the length of the list. He practically got killed doing it. And nevertheless, he's going to go right on helping Grandpa. Grandpa's dead, but it's all right. Completely inane, actually. This is mechanics. And it's actually a set of mechanics which were vitally necessary to thinking itself. Because you think with these facsimiles. If you don't think you can handle your facsimiles, rats. You shuffle them around like somebody from New York on a Pullman car shuffles cards. You always have facsimiles, not just one or two. You're using thousands of them all the time and doing it very well. A person who has a bad memory is amazing. If you start checking over the number of things which this person is remembering, you'll find it out that his bad memory boils down to maybe 50, 60 facsimiles, types of facsimile. Practically nothing compared to the rest of his bank. If you could get a machine to run this perfectly, if you could get a machine to run this perfectly, any big electronic brain, as perfectly as the person with the worst memory present, why, they would be hanging all sorts of awards on you. Gee, would you be up there? Would you be hot stuff? And the human mind's running so close to perfect now, it's a wonder why anybody operates with it. Take Truman, for instance. Now, anyhow, with this mechanism in mind, do you see why running nothing but effort processing is not going to make a fast resolution of the case? Because it's just a facsimile, and the person chose it of his own free will, and he's using it, and that's the way it is. And you want to fix him up so he doesn't have to use it anymore because he's lost track of why he's not using it. And that's really all that's wrong with him. He just lost track of the time tabs and the causes for the use of facsimiles. It isn't because he is being victimized by his facsimiles. He just lost the code number. I think that was for Grandma, but I don't know. Maybe that was for my little brother. I don't know. Oh, to hell with it. It couldn't have been for anybody. It just must be for me. Now, that's a good solution to the whole problem. Just throw the rest of the code file away and it's just for me, that's all. And besides, I'm getting along all right. I'll probably be able to kill myself in a year or two and I won't have to monkey with this anymore and I'll be go on and do something else more interesting. Didn't like my parents this time anyway. This is probably the kind of a thinking process that goes on that makes an auditor necessary. After a while, an auditor comes along, and what the auditor's doing is saying, yeah, well, when did you decide to forget all this stuff? Oh, yeah, all right, that's the thing to do. He makes the postulate again on you. That's the thing to do. Put them all behind you. That's all far away. Yes, I haven't anything to do with that anymore. Well, when did you want these things, the auditor says. Oh, I never wanted them. No, not me. No. No, they just got hung on me. I mean, I'm just this way. That's the way life is. And it's all forgotten, and I'm getting along all right. Probably be able to die in 6 or 7 months if I really try. And what the auditor has to do is get that out of the road, and then somehow or other find this file tab system back here, the code file system that says, facsimile, which appears to have a broken leg, assumed on January the 12th, 1912, 6 o'clock in the evening, grandma broke leg. Well, there's no sense in trying to run out his broken leg somatic. You know where you're going to find his broken leg somatic? I mean, he's going around the life, walking like a normal. And where do you find his broken leg? Well, this is what gets puzzling about it. And that's why in effort processing, you could very fast lose track of your whole case. You can go on and process people with effort processing, and they get well. They get weller than anybody before. But we're trying to do a fast job on this. We're not trying to do any slow-poke job. You start processing out this leg with its efforts and counter-efforts, and where do you find the fellow? Oh, God, he can be any place. He can be hanging by his tail from a tree. That's a fact. He can be doing almost anything. And he'll obligingly run it. He'll run the efforts and the counter-efforts and the efforts and the counter-efforts and his efforts and the efforts not to and the efforts to and the efforts and the counter-efforts and get him in. Oh, yes, sir. You run them all and you get up off the couch. Because he's probably holding it in trust right here in this life, and he's thrown the code away. Well, you find the code. And the way you find that code is by running emotional curves and looking for the thoughts of help, people, and failing. And you can just run an emotional curve of to help, fail. Just keep running that on the case, running on the case, one after the other, one after the other, time and time again. All of a sudden, bang, you'll go right straight in to the first available moment of failure. That's all there is to it. Now you can run that one out by effort if you want to. Because he really connects this as part of existence. Because it actually happened. He hung it on himself and it had all the others actually happened too. But this is sequitur. It's right there. It's easily read. He sees what he was trying to do. Very simple. So you run this off. Or you can just keep scanning the emotion through it. Up to the point when the ally arrives. Because if the person won't get rid of it, there's an ally on the other end of it. Grandma heard about it and came in from Poughkeepsie 3 days later. Said, what are you doing to my darling? The Marines landed. Now if you take anybody who is on a beachhead, being attacked by 20 enemy planes and 8 brigades of Japanese infantry, and he looks out to sea and he sees there's 2 squads of Marines to take care of all this coming. And the Marines are landing and you say, well, we're going to take away your support, these Marines. They're needed over on the other island. This guy would object, wouldn't he? Well, that's about the same level of objection of the pre-clear, so high, Grandma arrives and you're going to take away this whole sequence? No, you're not. Because he became an effect then. He wanted to be an effect then. And this is the best way to be an effect. And besides, he's tried to help Grandma, and all of a sudden he's in need of help, and it's got to be an interchange of some sort or another, and there he is. And so you're going to run this thing all the way through and get Grandma. No, sir, not unless you get some of the interchange on the whole subject of Grandma. Grandma will show up in that incident. But if he's doing a life continuum on Grandma later on, the life continuum has to be interplayed with this service facsimile. See, the two go together. Because he's going on living for Grandma, and therefore he's not going to give up Grandma the facsimile, and the ally is really buried. Now, you get then the lightness with which effort processing can be used. If you go ahead and indulge yourself in effort processing, is a great technique. I thought of it, I ought to know. But after a very broad investigation of this technique, it was discovered that, just like it said in the axioms, it could go on forever. Person feel much better, it'd solve an awful lot of things, but it could go on forever, and you don't want processing to go on forever. You want a finite end to processing. You want a person to get into action, efficiency, good degree of health, and that's it. Now, by processing and by effort, you just keep on processing by effort, and by more 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 effort, just being lazy. You're being lazy by being terribly industrious. And you should ask yourself who you're running a life continuum for who is being lazy by being terribly industrious. It's all so much work, but I have to go on and do it anyway. You've got your perfect answer in effort processing. All right, now we take back here this code. You want to use effort processing to the degree that it takes you to find the code of the case. Who is he holding what somatic for? Run the emotional curve and a secondary if needful in order to get rid of that situation. Because it's a situation of help, try to help, try to help, try to help, fail. Try to contribute, try to contribute, try to contribute, fail. Sees he has to have approval from, approval from, approval from. Did something wrong? That was really a failure. Offended against this person. All of a sudden this person up and dies. That's a real failure. You start going through this and you find out how the individual, 2 years old at the time, was completely responsible for his grandmother's death. It's wonderful. He'll have it all worked out. It was his fault. Well, that's the end of a failure cycle. Now, to run effort processing, just as processing then, will pay you dividends if you go at it very thoroughly and you keep at it and so on. And there are a lot of cases that don't have a complicated key system, particularly the cases of children. All that's necessary to find, for instance, in a child is when he's felt sympathetic for the other child who was in the condition he's now in. And then you'll maybe find that birth or something is lying there to be run by effort. You run it and the kid gets better, and that's the end of that. Providing you do get all of the code out. This kid seems to be sort of latched up in birth. And seems indicated, birth seems to be, wants to be run. Run it. There isn't any doubt about that because it's probably part of the facsimile. Birth was the handiest one he had. It contained coughs, and it contained choking, and it contained all sorts of things. So he can use this. It's very handy. Well, process it out, because he does much better after you do process it out. You can't reason with a little kid. He'll go on down the street after you've just got him well from a horrendous case of whooping cough, after effects, and so forth, and you'll see another little kid that's on crutches. The next thing you know, he'll come home, and he'll be kind of gimping a little bit. They just do it. It's very touching, actually. The kid is the one who will really do this in a hurry. After a fellow gets on a life continuum basis, his concept of the other human beings around him is what he's continuing. Not his concept of himself. You get the idea? So if he believes somebody was selfish and he's doing a life continuum for somebody who was selfish, he'll be selfish. Out of great generosity, he'll be selfish. Everybody busily investigated. This was a sorry tangle for somebody to come into and investigate if they were trying to investigate it scientifically instead of mathematically. The mathematics of the thing, and they are mathematics, were very interesting. For instance, effort processing, the emotional curve, and self-determinism were each and every one of them worked out of the clear blue sky. Just like that. They were not experimented with. They weren't a discovery. They were predicted. And all of a sudden, the package was there. Now it had to be tested and tested and tested and tested and tested, and it kept on doing just exactly what it was supposed to do. It's quite remarkable. But look at this. Here are a lot of human beings, and each one is wearing a life continuum or the burdens of the world. And now you take any one of these human beings and you try to investigate him as an individual to find out what a human being actually does. Hey, obviously, he's selfish, he's cantankerous, he's sick, he's ornery, he's this way, he's that way, and so forth. And if you confidently went forward, as the boys used to do, till we taught them better, going on examining mice jumping into electric plates or something of the sort, as far as human beings were concerned, you would have found no source for this stuff. Because what were you looking at? You were looking at other people's aches and pains, other people's troubles. And this was an individual. Well, how do you? All these other people are dead. Buried, failed, gone. And all you're looking at was his concept of those other people. So you were studying human beings by looking at this fellow's concept of a bunch of people that aren't there. Now you can't even examine those people, you're just examining this one. And here he is. What are you going to do with him? Well, the whole problem had to be taken up in such a way as to find where the guy was. There was a lot of evidence to the effect, man's good, he's generous, he does this, he does that. Yet here's some guy walking through life being mean, ornery, snarling, screaming, so forth. Who's he being mean, ornery, snarling, and screaming for? Not him. Wonderful. That's his idea how somebody else should have gone on living. He forgives completely all of this screaming and does it himself so this other person can continue. Only the other person's dead. Great stuff. Really made a complex problem. And it's no wonder that everyone kept saying the problem is too complex. Dianetics has oversimplified it. Took one power magnifying glass and took one look at it and said it's too complex. And then said it can't be simplified. Well, boy, people who were doing this were really protecting these life continuums, weren't they? Probably the most generous people on earth are the people in the insane asylums and the psychosomatic wards of hospitals. Well, it's your job to dig them up because they're interred there in the bones of their dead relatives. When you dig them up, why, I'm afraid you'll find out they'll go and do it all over again. But you'll at least give them a little latitude to work on. And educationally, they can see very well that it isn't quite as grim as they thought it was. So you can straighten a human being out. But you go on using effort processing, and you're not straightening a human being out. You're straightening out a human being who is a facsimile of a human being that he has tried to help. That's no good. You want a guy. You don't want the guy who has covered himself up with. And I think if you got all of the life continuums off of an individual and had this case entirely resolved all the way down the line, I think you would find yourself looking at a person who is completely aware of his analytical mechanisms without any unconscious area at all. He would be acting on the control center, which he's right now beginning to use to censure himself for making postulates. Now, isn't that a laugh? Well, I'd better not make that postulate because so on. He's making this upper upper control center, make the lower control center do things with postulates. Now, you can find how you do effort processing this way and that. It's relatively very simple. But what I'm asking you to do is not do effort processing just for the sake of doing effort processing. I'm asking you to take a case apart and find a guy. Now, you can even do this. You can even, as an auditor, living the life continuum of grandma, use grandma's authoritarian control yourself on the preclear in order to make grandma keep on living. Well, let's do a double shift on that gear shift and let's let the preclear go on living, huh? That would be smarter. That is why an auditor ought to have his case fairly well undone, is so he won't be practicing any life continuum habits on his own preclears. Now, makes sense to you? Now, that is why you find in advanced procedure minimal effort processing. It will still work out that you will go into a case every once in a while and you'll find that there's nothing whatsoever that you can do about this case but effort processing. If your head was being shoved at this moment, which way would it be resisted? And he's off to the races. A somatic will turn on and he's all set. Sometimes they go into convulsions and fraud and do all sorts of things. But sometimes a case won't present any other immediate and easy entrance. Of course, it's an awful temptation to walk up to any case and say, what's the feeling in your right foot? What's the feeling in your left foot? What's the feeling in your back? All of a sudden the guy goes, oh! What you've done is take his concentration of attention in the facsimile he's wearing away from the spot where he is resisting this. As a person becomes concentrated on these counter efforts, their attention units in the facsimile are being delivered. There isn't anybody here right now, I know, who doesn't have a lot of his attention centered upon a counter effort. There's a counter effort somewhere. You want to know what cuts down a person's lack of concentration? It's just that. Did you ever have a cut or something and have somebody trying to talk to you? And you keep pulling your attention away from the cut and how annoyed you get after a while having to talk to this person. If you have a preclear who is very badly annoyed about you trying to process him or doing anything else, all he's doing, he's got his major concentration on some somatic, and if he took his concentration off it, the somatic would hit him. It's just that simple. But he will go in for this. He'll feel the feeling in his right knee and his left knee and feel the feeling in his heart and he'll feel the feeling in one foot. You can feel the aliveness of your right foot now, can't you? Something like that. You'll do one or two things. You'll either tend to open his communication channels internally and he comes out of that facsimile, or you'll just take his attention off that somatic and let it clip him. Your person in apathy actually has wrapped himself up in some kind of a somatic that works like this. Any direction I move will hurt. And his only concentration is not to concentrate on anything except not moving. See? So, a person in apathy, you can come along a catatonic, click up their hand like that, and their arm will stay up. You see, if they're in a facsimile that has proven to them, and by the way, by running one of these facsimiles, sometimes you can see this happen. As eventually as the person goes down the tone scale and the curtains are falling and night is drawing on apace, as far as that engram is concerned, he's being hit by various counter efforts. He's afraid to move. You try to coax him to move, and he won't move. I mean, he'll eventually get down to that point. When you've got him down to that point, you've got him in apathy. Psychiatrist, stop the session. If it's preclear, start running counter efforts because you've got to exhaust these counter efforts in order to get the person up out of this apathy. You could start running efforts and laying off without running out the remainder and leave the person in a completely exhausted state. What if you fail to run out? His exhaustion. So people come around to you and they say, you know, this effort processing tires people out. And you say, how about running the tail end off? An auditor must always use his common sense. If a person is dumped into an incinerator and is severely burned and so forth, you just don't get him up to the point where he's being pulled out of the door of the incinerator and then drop the incident. Well, that's what you're doing in effort processing when you just drop the incident at the last effort you pick up. I mean, the last time you get violent efforts and counter efforts, you say, well, that's that. There's the guy, he's exhausted. He's in a horrible state. And you say, well, that's just the way they get after you process one of these. And it takes so much out of a person. They're really borrowing this one off medical science, you see. Medical science thinks a person climbs two or three mountains or develops a fever or something like that. It's a continuing process. Actually, most of a person's physical manifestations, including tiredness, are just psychosomatic. I don't know how long the human body can run. I don't know how good this engine is. Neither is anybody else. But it's a lot better than anybody thought it was. The individual thinks that, well, if he works all day and he does a very active job of work all day long and he works all day and he works all day, that the night he's tired. Nuts. I mean, this is the way he's supposed to feel, or this is the way Uncle Joe felt, and he's doing a life continuum for Uncle Joe, so he has to be tired every night when he comes home or some such thing. And the proof of this is you do a little processing on him. And first thing you know, why, he comes home and he's forgotten he's supposed to be tired when he comes home. And he comes home and he says to the dear little wife, let's go out to a dance. Well, he finds out that if he dances every night till 2 o'clock in the morning, gets up every morning at 6 in order to get to work, after a while he finds out he's getting tired. So you process him a little bit. And he can go to the dance till 2 o'clock every morning, work all day too. Don't think he can't. I don't even think sleep's necessary. I think if he went back there and ran out the horror of being, you see, an algae lives on sunlight and minerals. So darkness is starvation. It's dangerous. It's also very tiring to be without sunlight when it's your exclusive fuel and you don't have much insulation. You get, but it isn't tiredness at all, it's dying. Every algae or every state, like a photon converter, died in regular cycles of 24 hours or started to die, and then all of a sudden the sun had come up. A couple of photons. You can find this in pre-clears if you want to. That's lots of fun. Don't leave a minute. Want me to give you some more of those manifestations? Sometimes people get very doubtful about the genetic line being there, so it's always kind of nice to have a couple of tricks that you say, well, this is the way it is. They say, well, it's probably attributable to something else. What is the effort to attribute something to something else? What do you mean, the effort? What's the effort to pick up a chair? Well, it's this effort. Well, what's the effort to attribute something to something else? Well, I wouldn't... You know, it kind of seems like I'd kind of move my shoulders like this. Well, can you feel yourself moving your shoulders like this? Well, I'll try it a couple of times. You know, move your shoulders. Ow! Now, will we go on with our discussion? The extreme doubt which has been demonstrated toward Dianetics should have developed in you, and it's only your great humanitarianism which has spared the race. It should have developed in you this facility of argument. Because the truth of the matter is, with most people, you can't be argued with, that's all. You can't be. Because if you know your subject, you can produce enough phenomena in order to make it unprofitable to argue with you. It doesn't matter anyway. It'll go away in a few days. Sometimes. And if he knows that you can't do anything to him, well, that's simple. He can at least come back and have you finish the process. And then, of course, he will have admitted that you could do something for him. That's the way to win an argument. I'm not advising you, actually, to do this, like the last guy I rolled up in a ball on the floor. This guy, by the way, showed a great deal of muscular tension. There was effort sitting right on top of his case. Right on top. And I was telling him some of the advantages of Dianetics. It made people well. He wasn't interested in this sort of thing. He was a lawyer. So I gave him the little routine that put him back into a prenatal. I just asked him on the basis, well, just pretend. Supposing he had a witness on a witness stand, all right, you be a witness on a witness stand. And supposing you could say certain things and the witness would curl up in a ball and fall on the floor. All right, now you're the witness on the witness stand. I'll show you how this is done, you see. Scared him to death. That was before I knew about lock scanning. So I didn't bother scanning it off. Anyway. Gives you some sort of an idea of what you're trying to do with effort processing. Do almost anything you want with it. Here's the discovery of the effort and the counter-effort. And the horrible discovery that in order to be human, you have to be wrong. You can't be right and be human. And that's what else you should know about effort processing. The efforts are the efforts not to survive. And people are making efforts not to survive, and it's the non-survival efforts. You think you're making an effort to try to see. No, you're not. You're making an effort not to see. Actually, you have to make an enormous number of non-survival efforts, or else you just know all of this automatically. It'd all be lying there. I mean, that'd be the end of that. You wouldn't have any fun, no randomity. So, the answer is very simple. ARC. ARC is as valid as it ever was. But you have to, you think, stay in communication with the human race. As long as you stay in communication with the human race, you have to be wrong. If you want to indulge in action, anytime you indulge in any kind of action of any kind, you descend down from right a little way. You descend from absolute right to descend in any action. Because full responsibility says that rightness would be full responsibility, and that isn't action. You come down the line, you talk to people. Now just think of this society with a social structure of little fibs, a social structure of hiding the obvious, of being coy about various functions of the human body. You think of all of these things compounded up, they're all wrong, aren't they? Well, in that, they inhibit, to some degree, a person's rightness. And you figure out where these things inhibit rightness, you're all set. A person is downscale. And if he is in ARC with low levels, so forth, of course, he's pretty wrong. How human can you get? Awful wrong. But an individual doesn't consider that this is particularly bad to be as wrong as 10 or even as wrong as 4. But when a fellow starts to get as wrong as 2, he is so far down the line that he can't recover by his own efforts, simply because his own efforts will inevitably be selected wrong. Very simple. The efforts that a 2 will select to do to himself, and so forth, normally it better be done by an auditor or the handbook, because they'll be kind of wrong. That should be of interest to you. What is behavior at 1-5 and all the rest of it? People are making an effort to be human. They're making an effort not to survive. They're making an effort to do this. They're making an effort to do that, all on a non-survival basis. And this non-survival is what you're trying to process out of them. You're trying to process out non-survival. So the things which you really ought to be hitting on the case with any of this line is efforts not to survive, because the individual is actually making self-determined efforts not to survive. If a person went all the way up the top of the thing and became completely right, we can prove it technically. I don't know how many years it would take to do this, but he would simply disappear out through the top of the static, that's all. He'd be that right. He wouldn't be human anymore. Now, how inhuman can you get? Well, a person gets pretty inhuman when they get down below 2-2. The preferred band in humanity is between about 3-5 and 10-12-14. But those 10-12s and 14s, they get slugged around because there are too many below 2 in the society. It's in a very bad state of imbalance. You're trying to put a state of society back into balance again. You're not trying to make people step out through the top of static. So that is the way you use effort processing. The efforts a person is using are the efforts not to survive. I think I'll mention some of you sometime when you have a quiet moment, you might try. Let's get the effort to agree to be human. And you'll find some interesting efforts. All right, let's take a break.